Welcome to the big interview on today's show. And yeah, it is a big interview today. It's one that I know a number of you are excited about because, well, this money manager has been on the show before. It's not just that you've liked his appearances here. It's that a number of you invest with him. His name is Andrew Foster. He is the chief investment officer at Seafarer Capital Partners. Now, if you want more information, it's seafarerfunds.com. Specifically, he is the lead manager of the Seafarer Overseas Growth and Income Fund. And he's also co-manager of the Seafarer Overseas Value Fund. So if you want more information on what they've got and how they do it, seafarerfunds.com will get you there. Andrew Foster, welcome back to Money Life.
Thank you, Chuck. Happy 2019. And it's my privilege to be here.
So is 2019 going to be happy? I mean, we got through a Christmas with no Santa Claus rally. We've gotten maybe something that kind of feels like a bit of a January effect, except somehow it doesn't. We've got a lot more volatility. And in your space, emerging markets, we've got trade and tariff concerns and a whole bunch of other things that they may not be weighing down the market completely, but they're certainly weighing on everybody's minds. So we can wish each other a happy new year, but are we going to have one?
Yeah, you know, I think we will have a better year. This time last year, I was very, very pessimistic, believe it or not, about emerging markets and wrote about it in some commentaries I wrote for my shareholder base. And a year later, I'm actually in a much better place, believe it or not. And there's sort of three underlying ideas. One is that valuations and growth in the emerging markets are okay. Valuations are pretty darn low, and growth is much better than it's been in years. It's not great. It's not really high, but it's much more stable. We just haven't had much growth, and it's been very unstable, really going back almost 6-7 years now. And we've got a solid growth trend in place. It's not slowing. We're looking at maybe 11% growth last year, 2018, and probably 8 or 9% this year. And I don't think that's going to be affected much by a lot of things people are worried about, trade, tariffs, and all the rest. The second thing is, so I think this year is going to be an okay year, not a great year, but I think things are looking better than they've looked in a long time. I don't want anyone to interpret that as, you know, major bullishness, but it's getting better. And the second thing I would say is, the emerging markets are starting to behave more independently than they've ever behaved in the past from the S&P and from the U.S. markets. That can obviously have a downside when, you know, the S&P is rising and emerging markets are falling. But I think what we're going to see is more of this word that I thought was silly in the past but is now increasingly relevant, which is decoupling. I think you're going to see these markets perform separately and differently from the U.S., and that has at least a diversification benefit potentially for investors. I don't think we're going to start to see that happen this year and maybe going forward over the next few years. And then the last thing is, I think at the core of all this, the third thing I'd tell your audience is China. China's obviously in the headlines a lot about trade tariffs and whatnot. Trade tariffs are serious for China, but they're not as important as people think. China's growth has been slowing for years now. There was sort of a short spurt of growth in 2016 and 2017 that was really politically driven and not natural or organic from the private sector. And apart from that brief period, China's been slowing down. And it's really because the leadership there has been acting in a very unpractical, very political and ideological manner. And that's been causing the economy not to perform. I think 2019 is the turning year where the leadership of China begins to act in a more pragmatic way. There's already signs they're starting to do so. I don't think they're going to stimulate the economy a whole lot, but I think they're going to undertake a lot of micro, smaller measures that are much more practical, and China's going to get back on its feet again. So you put these three things together, you know, better valuations and stable growth, decoupling benefit, these markets behaving separately from the S&P and the U.S. Investment cycle, and third, China getting back on its feet, not roaring, but getting back on its feet. I think you have the ingredients for a better outlook this year, at least a much better one than 2018.
We'll settle much better than 2018. That's certainly not going to be something. I mean, as a general rule, emerging markets were off more than 15%. And I think the decoupling idea is huge because diversification hasn't worked for years.
Right.
That's particularly bad when you hold an asset class like emerging markets that is perhaps more volatile than part of the rest of the world.
Exactly.
That said, how much are trade wars just a complete wild card in all of this? And is there a resolution that is going to make you comfortable with how this is playing out?
I'm not a fan of how the trade wars have been conducted by either side. But I would say that the U.S. has some underlying legitimate grievances that the trade wars might alleviate. And frankly, would be in China's interest to do. China needs to do more to protect intellectual property, stop cyber espionage, and really begin to offer better rules and practices and openness in its economy. It's a grown-up country now. It's not as poor as it once was. A lot of countries used to look the other way when China was poor and trying to grow its way out of that poverty. China's not so small or poor anymore, and it really needs to adopt more developed market practices. So I think there are legitimate grievances. So I'd like to see that happen. China's not as dependent on trade as you might think, or or at least a lot of people might naturally think. It is really dependent on trade with the U.S., but not globally. And I think what's going to happen is China's going to, number one, make some important adjustments to its economic and trade behavior because of these talks, and that will help things out. And second, I think it's going to work very aggressively to reduce its reliance on the U.S. trade relationship, which is maybe not great for the United States because we have a dependent nation now that will become more independent going forward. It will reduce our bargaining leverage, but I think what it means is a more independent future for China, where China's going to work quickly to get out from under the thumb of the United States, and I think that will happen, and it will mean perhaps a more vibrant future for China going forward.
I'm curious because I do talk to plenty of folks who invest in the emerging markets.
Yeah.
But the Seafarer funds are pretty low turnover by anybody's measure. I mean, you're turning over about 20% of the portfolio on the growth and income fund. You're turning over like 5% of the portfolio in the value fund. Now, maybe that's because the value fund is newer. But for you at this point, is it let's find the right things and try to put the, you know, that Warren Buffett ethic of, hey, my ideal holding period is forever? Because most people don't think of emerging markets that way. Or is there something else that drives you when you're saying, hey, when I find things, I don't have to trade much in the emerging markets?
It's more the latter. I mean, I would say there are two things. Number one, Chuck, it'd be great if I could predict the what we call the maybe big picture macro outlook, which country's going to perform this year, which sector's going to perform. But I don't find really anyone with that skill in that at least has it compellingly over time. So it means that if I can't predict if China's going to do well this year or Indonesia is going to do well next year or Thailand's going to do poorly or whatever, I can't make those switches that would be very beneficial if I could. So it really has to be rooted in a company decision. And then, so rather than a kind of a country or sector decision. And so once I know that, that's the only way I can add some value. I'm looking for good companies. And I think the great thing is the markets I work in are so crazy all the time. If you can find a well-run company amid those markets, I mean, they offer a lot of growth potential, but they're also crazy markets. So if you find a well-run company amid that, it's like a little bit of an oasis amid the desert or a stable ship amid the storm. And you can ride on that for a long time. You have to monitor it, make sure it's still well run, but it actually has a lot more persistence through all these very vicious cycles that these emerging markets go through. I want to caution folks that are listening, our fund is having probably some higher turnover at the end of last year than is usually the case, but what you said is generally true. We've adopted lower turnover as an approach because we think you make a company bet, not a country bet, and you stick with it over time, and that advantage compounds to you if you've made that company bet correctly.
We have come through the shift in China to A shares. Has that dramatically changed things and the way people should perceive what's going on?
Oh boy, yeah. We need to think about a future where China as a country is much larger than most folks understand from an investment perspective. The A-share market, for those of your audience that aren't as familiar, this is a stock market that exists. There are two of them, actually, one in Shanghai and one in Shenzhen, two major financial capitals in China. And these are stock markets that have historically basically only been open to domestic Chinese investors and institutions. A little bit of foreign access, but not much. China is really working to invite foreign investors, U.S. investors, other investors, European investors, to invest in those markets. And these are fairly large stock markets that have basically been cut off from the world but are increasingly opening up. And when you start to measure how big they are, it suggests that China's stock capitalization, the amount of stocks they have out there and their value, is a lot bigger than people realize. And it means that, for me, you know, maybe 50% of the emerging markets is dominated by Chinese companies. And that's because China's a really big place. So China is not just one of many. It's the greatest among many. And so I think it's a market people have to pay attention to.
Well, I think people benefit when they pay attention to what they hear from you. I have a bunch more questions. I just don't have any more time. But it's always great to chat with you, and I know you'll come back again. So I look forward to our next conversation later in 2019, when I hope we will be experiencing what you described as at least a decent year. Andrew Foster, thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Chuck. Anytime.
That's Andrew Foster, everybody. He is Chief Investment Officer at Seafarer Capital Partners.